Hello, everyone. Welcome back to E-commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. Today, we're excited to welcome back Jim Voss. If you haven't already, please be sure to go check out his first conversation with Ari in episode 20 of our podcast list. Jim is a dynamic technology executive with over two decades of experience in engineering leadership and hands-on software development. He has successfully led global teams, improved system uptime, enhanced cost efficiency, and ensured technical compliance, and he's even led some teams here at Bridgeline. Jim's expertise spans a wide range of industries, creating practical, high-impact solutions, and he's also a great friend of our CEO, Dr. Ari Khan. He's back to continue the conversation with Ari today, so without further delay, I'm going to let you guys take it over.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Kristen.
All right, we got a thing going here. It's Jim and Ari show now.
Good stuff, though.
One of the things that I was hoping to discuss is use cases with artificial intelligence and how those can apply. And in particular, I have repeatedly seen people say things, and it's a mistake, which is that, oh, great, now that we've got AI, we're all set. And a lot of times they think of AI as AGI, this general intelligence, and I just need one little AI bot and it can do everything.
Yeah, like if you hear the NVIDIA CEO, he says there's not going to be any software developers in 3 years. But if you listen to the GitHub CEO, he says there's going to be more software developers because they're going to be able to do more with AI.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm more in the GitHub camp. And I see the analogy being similar to in the software space. If you look at Office productivity, Microsoft Office came out. Was that it? No, there was more innovation afterwards. Salesforce.com, there was even the web browser, right? So that was the beginning, or the PCs at the end of personal hardware. No, then the tablet and the cell phone and so forth. So this is going to create a platform that can solve lots of problems. It won't be one underlying AI, AGI thing that solves everything, AGI being artificial general intelligence, this broad general thing, but a bunch of specialized agents. And I thought that we could talk through some use cases, because use cases are going to drive the innovation and implementation.
Yeah, especially in the short term, people who get to solve specific problems and do it more quickly and get better results using AI, but in a focused way, I think you're going to really get ahead quickly. You know, I think AGI will eventually come around, but I think it's fairly far off.
And even in an AGI, this general intelligence, the G's for general, okay, great. Humans are kind of AGI-ish, but you still have lawyers, doctors, sure, computer scientists, and so forth, specialists, right?
Well, that's really interesting. One of the things I've been thinking about, and I think it's related to this, is, you know, how good an AI system, an LLM is, or whatever other machine learning system is, depends on the data that you have, that you feed it. Look at Google has probably more data on anything than any other company in the world by far. But look at companies like Microsoft. They bought GitHub a few years back. They bought LinkedIn. So they have these amazing data sets now, too. You know, GitHub's a great data set for code. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn's mm-hmm. a great data set for, you know, a business social network.
So, and the context matters. When I was studying artificial intelligence, we had this phrase in computer vision that was, you can't have attention without intention. And that really comes down to, attention depends on the context and the task at hand. So if you've got a doctor and you've got a lawyer, there are many times you could ask them the same question, they would give you very different answers, and they would both be right in their field.
Sure.
And you want to have agents that are tuned, even if the similar technology behind the scenes, towards a particular task at hand.
Even people in the same profession with different disciplines, if you ask a nutritionist and a rheumatologist about inflammation, they're going to give you wildly different answers.
Okay.
And they both might be right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a much better example than the lawyer and doctor which I'm not doing each other.
But, you know, I think you're right about that. And, you know, we're going to see things happening that people didn't imagine just a couple of years ago. You know, to me, AI is a sea change in the way that you know, cheap, widely available personal computers were, the way that smartphones were, the way that broadband was. Think about, you know, broad high-speed internet connections are essentially ubiquitous now in the Western world, at least. And, you know, you don't think about anything about walking down the street on your phone streaming a YouTube video or sitting in your house playing a video game with a virtual world with 4,000 other people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't possible before these technologies.
Roll back 100 years of electricity. Don't think anything about having a light on, even on the street. But, right. You know, back then, was that going to change the world? We didn't need people anymore because we have electricity?
Yeah, I mean, look at medicine. Before antibiotics, you could cut your toe and die. I don't think it's necessarily that dramatic change, but I think it will be.
So let's get a little bit more specific into the near term, and let's brainstorm a little bit on some interesting use cases. Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, so, you know, this is not totally off topic, but slightly. I think the convergence of AI with some other technologies can bring around some really interesting things. But let's talk about just AI specifically first. So, and there's different types. There's the large language models. There's, you know, modeling the real world in 3D, and there's various approaches to that. But AI will be able to do things people can't do. So, for example, if you walk into a retail clothing store and there's a camera there, it can look at your shirt, probably identify the manufacturer, if they carry that manufacturer's clothing lines, have a cross-sell ready for you, and somehow direct you to there. You know, maybe it's these new Facebook Orion AR, VR goggles. That's augmented reality, virtual reality. And it could guide you to the section of the store where there's clothing that matches what you're already wearing. Or it can look at, you know, if you share something publicly on social media, you can even look at your photos and videos there and determine what your style is and present you ads based on your individual preferences just by analyzing what you're doing.
That's interesting, right? So as a large language model, which is ChatGPT and things like that, that are creating text or images and even video, is producing content for you, and it knows you because it's watching your social media, and it knows what your clothing styles are. It could inject into that content subliminal advertising even towards certain brands, right?
Yep.
So you go to ChatGPT. I would like a story about a kid on a hiking trip, and ChatGPT knows that you like Colorado hikers hiking boots, and it says okay, and that you don't own any and you want to buy some. Yeah, he started off the hiking trip by strapping on his Colorado hikers, and you know,
yeah, it's amazing. It'd be powerful. It's a little insidious. You know, we have to be careful about how we do it. I think that's another topic, but yeah, I think the possibilities are pretty amazing.
Because it's almost like product placement subliminally inside of a TV show where they strategically place certain products in the scene. And then another level, an influencer, like the LLM is an influencer, and it is talking about or maybe creating videos with certain products in it because it's style. Like if you've got a channel, which is the custom action movie channel, and you can watch it on your TV, and it's an LLM that creates custom movies for you. Yeah. That could be an influencer that
you can have entertainment tailored down to the individual. Generate, you know, you take what's possible now, and it's going to accelerate in capabilities quickly. And you add things like quantum computing, and you know, it's all this stuff's going to require immense amounts of energy. So, you know, Microsoft just got permitted to reopen Three Mile Island to power AI.
Oh, really?
They did.
That's a disaster waiting to happen.
But all these really big companies, Oracle is investing in nuclear power because these AI, it's so energy hungry, and it's such a race now to have it. But you take
that shows you how much farther we have to go in artificial intelligence. Humans do not require nuclear power plant to learn to become a, you know,
There's companies that you can rent I wouldn't necessarily call it a computer, but it's equivalent to a computer. It's powered by human brain organelles. And you can rent it for $500 a day.
I got my own human brain. I'm good. I don't need it.
It's a little scary, but it uses like 100 times less power.
Wow.
But, you know, we're going to be able to do what was considered impossible just a short time ago in the very near future. Think about walking into that clothing retail store again. You walk up to a large screen. It's got a camera in it. It's got an AI avatar that looks like a person. That's your fashion consultant. Takes a picture of you. Now it's got an avatar of you wearing with what you have and making recommendations. I think that shirt would look good with these pants. Puts the new pants on you on the screen. Mm-hmm. Moves around.
Yeah. And, you know, actually what's interesting to bring in my favorite topic, which is Hawk Search and all of this, that context we actually have already is that Hawk Search, because as you're querying a website in this instance, it has personalization, understands your profile, and the results end up being personalized. And there's machine learning, which is above and beyond the large language model, to record your response to different results and continue to tune them.
Think about this too. Your example of entertainment tailored down to the individual. That camera can look at your body dimensions and set up clothes that are tailored specifically for you. And with AI and automated manufacturing, with robots and everything, they can make Ari Khan's outfit and it fits you perfectly. Tailored down to the individual. Think about, the possibilities in search for, I want something that fits perfectly, that's, good for hot weather, it's breathable, and it can make recommendations to you and show you what it would look like, give you a price quote, and, manufacture it and ship it to you in, short amount of time. You know, it's going to be a world of luxury like we've never seen before in those regards, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Everybody would be wearing custom clothes.
Why not?
Yeah. All right, what are some other use cases that are in the near term?
I put a post on LinkedIn this week. It was a poll more than a post, asking people how long they thought it would be before we started seeing ads injected into AI responses. So you're using ChatGPT or Perplexity or something like that. You ask it a question. Use your example about, I'm going hiking. What do I need to bring? And says, okay, you need to bring Colorado hikers. Mm-hmm. Here's a link to buy them on this site.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to happen sooner or later, but I
think that's very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd imagine there's already teams working on it if it doesn't already exist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, we do that at Bridgeline, in that if you're saying, hey, I want to do such and such, you understand it's going to give you products that are on that website.
Sure.
We're providing that right now.
Right. That's attention, because you have intention. You're on that site, so you intend to at least look at the products on that site.
Exactly. But if we threw that same search box with the same data just on google.com, it would still give you those recommendations. You just wouldn't be an honest broker anymore. I love the idea of the tailored content as you're asking to more sophisticated questions. But there may need to be some disclosures and policing as to, where that information is really coming from.
Yeah, data privacy, and especially for creative works, attribution and provenance is, is very important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, there, a lot of news is generated now, summarization of whatever daily events and so forth, that's generating news. Mm-hmm. That's available today. Brilliant is, I think, doing a lot of that. And unfortunately, that's an opportunity for, if someone's tuning those language models behind the scenes, for creating bias in the news.
Yeah. And, I'm not going to go into specific examples because I don't want to go there, but there's going to be LLMs that do scientific research that come to conclusions that are uncomfortable for people.
Yeah.
And are we going to accept that this is a mostly objective assessment from AI because, theoretically a computer doesn't have bias? Or are we going to say it has built-in bias, or are we going to try to put our thumb on the scale so the results are not uncomfortable. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the computers and the language models do have bias based on their training.
Sure.
But it just might not be socially acceptable bias.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you had some extreme examples of, you know, Gen AI. You'd ask, show me, a painting style picture of the founding fathers, and it would show you this diverse group of people. It's historically inaccurate because of built-in biases in the model.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it was trained with a bunch of woke images from whatever or something that.
Woke or not, it's just inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's but
I just thought of something that I saw the other day though, that up until around Da Vinci's time, babies always were frowning, and that was the standard way that people drew it. And even like the older pictures of Jesus were like that. And then there was a cultural change where babies were supposed to look happy, and all of the paintings thereafter were. So the AI systems also, if you train them on all the old pictures, they think babies are ever happy.
Sure, you know, you have to keep training these models to stay up with trends. So one of the interesting bits, I was listening to a podcast on Google's AI, and they have, you know, Google Maps, and they have essentially 3D model of a good chunk of the planet in their data. And the comment from the person speaking who had worked in Google in that department was, it's relatively easy to create that model of the world. It's super hard to keep it updated
because
things are always changing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, I think for, retailers and people with websites for e-commerce, keeping up with changes both in, industry trends, in manufacturers and styles, and, all the way down to individual preferences is going to be challenging. Because right now you only know what a user tells you or what you can infer from their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they're doing outside of, your specific area for that intention. And that's fine because you have a very focused purpose. But if we start having capabilities of getting at least some training data about a person from outside that area, then I think it can be even more intelligent, more powerful. But then you get data privacy concerns. I think we talked about that last time, where you could potentially have just an AI agent that monitors your behavior and provide sort of a RAG data set. RAG is a retrieval augmented generation. Essentially uses this large language model and then gets more specific and more accurate by using the data you provide in addition to the general data has its training set. So using your data collected across multiple sites, multiple devices as a RAG data source is really interesting. You get really powerful results, but is the result worth the cost? I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. The augmentation of the language models themselves, I feel like that is imminent, that we can, build better models and that we can even have collections of models that are specialists and tailor those down. I think that those use cases, like the ability to have product placement and the ability to make recommendations when someone walks into the store and stands in front of the camera and says, hey, what should I buy and where is it inside of this store? Those are things that are very near.
Those are feasible today.
Yeah, those are feasible today. Somebody's role players. And then the other thing with AI here is that those use cases, everybody can start brainstorming about, what do I just have a stopwatch with you? What do I spend time on today? It'll be mundane stuff that we never expected. And it's like, oh, that would be easy to automate and just get those 5 minutes back from my day. And some of those will be killer apps. And it doesn't necessarily require an army of engineers to implement them. But you do have to understand how and when to use language models. This is only one technology, but it's in the news and it's big and it's making a lot of progress. And then we'll have a large number of apps that can be implemented. So everyone should be brainstorming, everyone, in terms of what are use cases, simple things that we take for granted that could be automated and save us 5 minutes here and there, and then anyone can be the next Bill Gates of AI apps.
You know, it's interesting. What you were just saying made me think of, like I said, Microsoft just is going to reopen Three Mile Island. The way they were able to do this, there were thousands and thousands of pages of paperwork to fill out for the regulators to be able to do it. They used AI to fill the paperwork.
And they said, if we only had it open now, we could have got you the paperwork a week earlier. That's awesome.
Well, guys, I'm popping in here. This was another great episode. Jim, I just wanted to give you a chance to maybe let listeners and watchers know where they can connect with you.
Sure. You can find me most easily on LinkedIn. So linkedin.com/in/JimVaught. I'm happy to connect with anyone and have this conversation continue.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And join us again next time.
Thanks.